Okay, today's daf is Vabasra daf Nun Ches. We are holding on daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and we are at the discussion about Barmine Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Bna'a about 12-15 lines before the end of the page. We're going to discuss what the clothing of a Talmud Chacham looks like, what the table of a Talmud Chacham looks like, what the bed of a Talmud Chacham looks like, how a Talmud Chacham essentially lives. And then the Gemara is going to tell us the story of Rabbi Bna'a marking the graves of the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, other graves as well, but it got very interesting when he tried to mark off where the precise location of the graves in Ma'aris HaMachpelah was. And then that's going to lead us into a discussion of the beauty of some of the people that are buried in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, and we're going to then tell more stories about Rabbi Bna'a, particularly his ability to figure out some complicated riddles that he was very clever in being able to figure out what people meant when they said certain riddles. Then on Beis Gemara, we're going to have stories of Rabbi Bna'a, the same Rabbi Bna'a, correcting the accuracy of various wise sayings where they were slightly off and he had to correct and make them a little bit more accurate. And then when we get to the Mishnah, that will be the end of the Agadah for now, and the Mishnah is going to continue discussing more Cheskas Tashmishin, specifically Cheskas Tashmishin of gutters and ladders and windows. And the Gemara is going to tell us that one type of gutter, a Marzav, doesn't have a Chazakah, but its place has a Chazakah. Yesh l'mekomo Chazakah. So the Gemara is going to have three explanations of what that means, that it doesn't have a Chazakah, but its place has a Chazakah. So let's begin. Anun Zayinim Beis. Bo'amine Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Bna'a. Rabbi Yochanan asked the following Shaila from Rabbi Bna'a. Rashbam points out, Shmaitin Rabbi Bna'a Kachashav Azil Agav Gror Dahachtala El. Since we mentioned Rabbi Bna'a in the previous Gemara about Bachol Shutfin Ma'akvin Zez Chutzman Akvisa, how Shutfin can stop each other from doing all sorts of different things in the Chatzar except for Kvisa. So once we mention Rabbi Bna'a, we're going to talk a lot about Rabbi Bna'a. That's the Sheichlus of this discussion over here, because otherwise it's not really a third parak of Baba Basra type of discussion. So he asked them the following, Chaluk Shel Talmud Chacham, Ketzad. How does the shirt of a Talmud Chacham look, or the robe that he wears under his coat? Kol Shein B'saru Nirei Mitachtav. It's so long that you can't see his flesh at all from underneath it, meaning it's so long that it goes all the way down to his feet, and even if he's walking barefoot, you won't be able to see any of his skin. He's so tsanua. Talus Shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad. What about the outer garment of a Talmud Chacham that he wears over that lower garment? Kol Shein Chaluko Nirei Mitachtav Tefach. That's if you don't see his lower garment, you don't see one tefach of it. If the outer garment, it maybe sticks out a little bit, but less than a tefach. That's how long the outer garment is. This is a makar for the idea that Talmidei Chachamim wear long clothing, that's apparently considered a form of tznius for Talmidei Chachamim to wear long clothing, and in many communities that's the practice, that a Talmud Chacham wears a longer coat than regular people. In fact, the Seder Mishnah in Hilchos Deos Perikei Alachotes points out that it's from the Gemara Masechah Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel that they asked that Rav Safra asked how are they matir for someone who doesn't have begadim yuchadim l'Shabbos to be mishal shel begadav, to make them look longer, because that's what the Gemara says. If you don't have special big day Shabbos, what at least you should do is lower your weekday clothing to make it look longer. So he says it's nira kimisga'e. Isn't that an act of gaiva, because you're basically proclaiming yourself to be a Talmud Chacham? It's gasus haruach. So you see from the question that he understood that this is a derech of Talmidei Chachamim to always wear longer clothing. Okay, shulchan shel Talmud Chacham ketzad. What does the shulchan of Talmud Chacham look like? Shnei shlishei gedil ushlish kalai. That 2/3 of the table is covered by a tablecloth, but 1/3 of the table is exposed. Va'alav ka'aros v'yarek v'tabato va'alav ka'aros v'yarek v'tabato mibachutz. And on that part that's exposed, that's where they have the plates and the vegetables and the taba'as of the table, the ring that they would hang up the table on. They didn't have much space in their houses, so they couldn't leave their table out all the time. So there was like a hook at the edge of the table where they could pick up the table. I guess it came off of the legs. The flat part of the top came off for the legs, and they would just be able to hang it on the wall. So the hook by which they hang the table is mibachutz. It's not on the side that the Talmud Chacham sits, it's on the other side of the table. Aiva Tanya Tabata mibifnim, but don't we have a brisa that tells us the opposite, that the hook of the table is on the inside where the Talmud Chacham is sitting? So Gemara has three ways to resolve this. First of all, Lo Kasha, Hadi Ika Yanuka, Hadaleka Yanuka. It depends if there's a child with the Talmud Chacham or not, because if there's a child with him, the child's going to be sitting next to him, and if there's a hook, there's something for the kid to pull at, it's not going to be good. He's going to pull at the hook, he's going to knock the whole table over, so that's not a good idea. So if the Talmud Chacham is sitting with the child, you want the hook on the outside. Or maybe the both prices are talking about where there's no child with him. Is there somebody serving him? You don't want the person that's serving him to accidentally hurt himself on the hook that's protruding out, that's sticking out into the room. So if there's someone serving him, let the hook be on the side where the Talmud Chacham is sitting. Maybe they're both talking about where there's a shamish, but the difference is whether it's daytime or nighttime. In daytime, the shamish can be careful not to get himself caught on the hook, but during the nighttime, it's going to be more difficult to see, and the shamish will not be able to be nizar from the hook. Vishal ama aretz domin lemadura, but an amaretz's table is like a madura v'kederos makifos hosa, that is surrounded by pots, meaning it's like a big bonfire. There's tons and tons of stuff, and it's pots all over the place. The impression you get is that Chazal are trying to draw a picture of a moderation for a Talmud Chacham. He only covers two-thirds of the table. What's on the other side? Some plates, some vegetables, a salad, right? A little bit more moderation. For the Amma Aretz, it's gluttonous. It's whatever he can eat is all over the table. Mita shel Talmidei Chacham Ketzad. What about a bed of a Talmud Chacham? What does a bed of a Talmud Chacham look like? Kol shein tachteh al sandalin bimos hachama u'minalin bimos hagashamim. The only thing you'll find under the bed of a Talmud Chacham is his summer shoes during the summertime and his winter shoes during the wintertime. Vishal Amma Aretz doma la'otzer bolim. But an Amma Aretz's bed is like a warehouse. It's got so much storage underneath the bed. He keeps everything underneath his bed. If you look at Rashbam, la'otzer bolus besamach, he says, k'mo isa belusa. It's not bolim, but it's bolus. V'mesach Shabbos paraklal gadol isa mu'ureves miminim harbe. That an isa belusa is a dough that's mixed with all sorts of different minim. And that's what an otzer bolus is, that there's so many different things. It's not just one item that he keeps under his bed. He keeps all sorts of different items under his bed. What is the idea that the Talmud Chacham only has his shoes under his bed? Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rashbam say that the Talmud Chacham specifically doesn't put food under his bed, because the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kuf Yud Beis says that Ruach Ra'ah is Shora on food that's underneath one's bed. It's interesting, if you look in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya, where it talks about Dvar Masur Mishum Sakana and Ruach Ra'ah, so the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't have a Tavshil under the bed. It makes it sound like bread, from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, makes it sound like bread would not be a problem, that it's Dafke a Tavshil not to have under the bed. But the Rosh Hashanah is pointing out that's what the Gemara is really trying to say, that the Talmud Chacham is careful not to have food under the bed. The Chronim explained, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Zayin tells us that sleep is 1/60th of Misa, so one could imagine that there's a certain Ruach Tumah when a person is sleeping, so having foods under the bed will cause a Ruach Tumah to come on the food. Rashi, Maseches Sukkah, and Daf Chav Aleph says that Talmud Chacham doesn't put anything under his bed because of Tznius, meaning he just doesn't store things under his bed. Why is that tznius? Because if one of the places where you keep things in the house is under the Talmud Chacham's bed, that means people are constantly coming into the Talmud Chacham's bedroom. And that's not tznua, that people should have to constantly be coming into his bedroom and going under his bed to find things. That's a part of the house that people should stay away from. The Maral says that it's just not a clean place. Under the bed is generally not a place that you clean very much, and therefore there's a Ruach Ra because of that. It's just simply not a clean place. Now, the idea that a Ruach Ra is Shorah and Ochlim, that's under a bed, is Paskin, as I mentioned, Shulchan Aruch Zim Kufta Zayin Sifei, V'litin Tavishil V'lomashkim Tachas Amita, the Shulchan Aruch says. So Shvus Yaakov brings a raya from our sugya that what if you left food under the bed? Is it now Asr to eat? Can you now not eat the food because it was left under a bed. So Shvus Yaakov brings a raya from our sugya that for sure it's mutter to eat, because this typical Am Haaretz has tons of food under his bed, apparently. That's what the Rishonim are explaining, is the difference between Talmud Chacham and Am Haaretz. And we know that we don't buy produce from an Am Haaretz because we're concerned about Trumos and Maisos. Forget about Trumos and Maisos. Why don't we avoid buying any food from an Am Haaretz? Because we are concerned about the Ruach Ra, that he sleeps on his bed and the food is all kept under the bed. So says the Shvus Yaakov in the Tshuva, Mikan Raya, based on this, in Chelik Besim Kofei, based on this, we have a Raya that a Talmud Chacham, I'm sorry, that the food does not become Asur B'diyeved if it were placed underneath the bed of a person. Okay, we're holding four lines from the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph at the two dots. Rabbi Noah have become Sain Marasa. Rabbi Noah was in the was making efforts to mark off graves. Kimata l'marasa d'Avram, and when he got to the grave of Avram Avinu, Ashkeche l'Eliezer Eved Avram d'koi kame bava. He found Eliezer Eved Avram standing guard at the door to not allow anyone into the section of Maris HaMachpelah where Avram Avinu is buried. Amalei, my kavod Avram. So Rabbi Noah said, what's Avram Avinu doing right now that you're not letting anyone in? Amalei, gani b'kanfa d'sara v'kama'ayna le'bereshe. He's resting his head in Sarah's lap, and she is looking at his hair, at his head, to pull out any lice that he might have in his hair. Amle zil emle b'na kaya bava. So he said, can you please go tell him that b'na'i is by the door? Amle leu. So Avram Avinu said, let him in. Mediadia di yetzer b'hei al maleka. Everyone knows that there's no yetzer har in this world, and therefore it's not a problem for him to see me in this state. So ayil ayin v'nafak. He came in, he looked at exactly where the kever was, so he can mark it off properly from the outside, and then he left. That was his interaction with Avram Avinu. The Rishonim explained that the reason he marked off the ma'aros for where people are buried is so that the Kohanim won't come and become tameh. But the Rashbam says something else, that he wanted to make sure that people wouldn't bring taros to that area and the taros would become tameh. So the Achronim raised the question, what was wrong with just saying that it was for the sake of the Kohanim? Why does Rashbam have to come up with this issue of taharos? So in the Sefer Batei Kuna, he tries to be mochiach from this Rashbam that kivrei tzadikim are not metameh tumah chamura, at least. There is a discussion in the Rishonim whether kivrei tzadikim are tameh, but specifically by a tumah chamura, at least the kind that a kohen would be muzaran, he says maybe that's what the Rashbam is holding. But then he says, no, it doesn't seem that way, because the Gemara just says, Rabbi Noah kametzayin ma'arasa, he was metzayin all the ma'aros of kivrei. It doesn't say that he was just metzayin the kivrei tzadikim. He had an unusual experience when he got to kivrei tzadikim, when he got to Avram Avinu's kever, but that's not all he was doing. He was being metzayin all sorts of kvarim. There's also a further machlok to show him whether there still is an issue of tumas meis for a kohen bizman hazeh. The Rambam Shita in Hilchos Nazirus Perkei Halacha Tezvav in Hilchos Avel Perkimol Halacha Zayin is that a kohen who's already tamei lemeis is still not allowed to become tamei again, and if he does, he's chayv malchus. But the Raivin in Hilchos Nazirus says that no, kohanim bizman hazeh tamei meis hein, they're ready tamei meis v'mechayv olsam alav lavi raya. You want to be mechayv malchus, you're going to have to bring a raya to be mechayv malchus. He's already tamei. You're not adding anything. So the Mishnah Melech points out in the third paragraph of Hilchos Avel that in our sugya it seems that Rabbi Noah is mitzayin the ma'aros for kvura so that Kohanim will not be nichshal. But according to the Ravid, that there's no iser of tumas meis for a kohen bizman hazeh. What was he doing? What do you mean nichshal? There's no iser. So he suggests, the Mishnah Melech suggests, that the Amoraim had efer para aduma. So in the times of the Amoraim, even if someone was already tamei meis, it's not the end of him. He could still get a tahara. So it was still important for him to know where the kvarim are, so that he should not be metame himself. The Gemara Nida says that Ula said that the chaverim shebegalil were metar yena mushmanim for menachos because meheri yibana amigdash. So they must have had efer par, because if they didn't have efer par, they would never be able to be metar themselves. So that's the raya of the Mishnah Lamelch. Karen Ora suggests that Rabbi Noah was ma'ayin on was mitzayin rather the kvaros, so the kvarim should not be the any Kohanim who have not yet become Tameh should not become Tameh. But in a chinami, maybe the Ravid would learn that if a Kohen has already become Tameh, then this is not no gay in him, then this would not be a problem for the Kohen to be there. Or you can suggest, some of the Acharim suggest that according to the Ravid, there's no Isra Midar Raisa for a Kohen to become Tamei once he's already Tamei. But even the Ravid would agree that it's still Asra Midar Abanan, and maybe that's why Rabbi Noah was marking off the graves, that they wouldn't violate an Isra Midar Abanan. The Rishonim also raised the question, and Tosos raised the question over here, that there's a Machlokas Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai in Yivamas of Samach Aleph, whether Kivrei or Ovdei Kochavim are Metamei Ba'ohel. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says that they're not metamei, because the pasuk says Adam ki yamus ba'ohel. Of the chavim are not called Adam. Atem kriyim Adam, veinu masa'olam kriyim Adam. And therefore, he says of the kivrei of the chavim are not metamei ba'ohel. The rabbanon know that they are metamei ba'ohel. But if you hold that they're not, why would Rabbi Binah have to mark off the graves of Avram Avinu, Adam Arishon? It's prior to Matan Torah. There was no such thing as a Jew. So these graves should not be metamei ba'ohel. So Tosfos suggests that even though Kibrei of the Chavim are not Metame Ba'ol, but the Kever of Adam Arishon is Metame, because you could say, Atem Kriyim Adam, Ve'en of the Chavim Kriyim Adam, but it's a hard sell to say that Adam is Ein Kari Adam, that Adam is not going to be an Adam. Ha'adam Agadol, and furthermore, by Avram Avinu, the Medrash has a drasha, Ha'adam Agadol is a reference to Avram Avinu. So these are people that would be Metame Ba'ol, even though they predate the existence of the Jewish people. Tosfos Maseches Nidan Daf Ayin Amud Beis also raised this question. He says, Kibrei of the Chavim that died before Kodem HaDibur, before Matan Torah, are Metamei Ba'ol, even according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's only Mishas Matan Torah that chiluk was made, that Atem Kriyim Adam, Einu Masolam Kriyim Adam. But prior to Matan Torah, even Kibrei of the Chavim are Metamei Ba'ohel. That's what Tosfos suggests in Maseches Nidan. Rishonim have several other suggestions as well to answer this question. Now, just one more point over here: the activity that Avram Avinu was involved in, and he said, "Don't worry, it's fine because there's no Yetzer Hara in this world. That's why Rabbi Binah could be allowed in, and he can see Sarah going through my hair." So the Mukhe Yosef points out that it's muchach from this Gemara that in general a person should not publicly display affection to his wife in front of other people, and it was only mutter for Rabbi Binah to enter because there's no Yetzer Hara in that world. But had it not been for the fact that there's no Yetzar in that world, this would be considered inappropriate. And that's what the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, in Ebenezer Simen Chaf Aleph, Sif Hey. A lot of times people think of this as just practice one way or the other. No, this is a halacha. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is Yesh Omrim, De'ein Linog Afilu Im Ishto, Bidvarim Shel Chiba, Kigon La'ayin Bereshim, Yesh Lokinim, Bifnei Acherim. For example, the way Avram and Sarah were interacting, that's what you can't do in front of other people. Now the Jerusha points out over there that he's not sure exactly where to draw the line of what's considered davar shalchiba. It never says that one is not allowed to touch his wife in front of other people, to tap her on the shoulder to get her attention or something like that. It never says anything. It says dvarim shel chiba. So which element of what Avram Avinu was doing was problematic to do in public? So the Drisha suggests the fact that she was picking lice out of his hair was not the problem. The problem is that he was lying on her, and that was the issue to do in public. But whatever the wherever the line is, wherever one draws the line, apparently there's definitely a line of doing Dvarim Shel Chiba in front of other people. So the Gemara continues with the story, second wide line. When Rabbi Binah arrived at the kever of Adam Arishon, at the cave of Adam Arishon, Yatza Baslav Amr and Istakalta Bidmustiukni, Bidyukni Atsni Atzma Altistakel. You may have looked at the Dmustiukni, which Rashbam says means Yaakov Avinu, who is similar to Adam Arishon, the Gemara is going to say, but you don't get to look at Adam Arishon himself. Rabbi Noah says, but I got to mark off the grave. I need to go in and see exactly where the bodies are. So, k'midas ha'chitzon kach midas ha'pnimis. This is ma'aras ha'machpelah. Machpelah means it's doubled. So that means whatever the measure is on the outside, the doubled over portion of the ma'aras ha'machpelah on the inside is the same measurement. So assume the same measurements. And if you assume that the machpelah, the doubling of the ma'ara, was not inside outside, but it was up and down, so then he says, okay, whatever I measured on the top, it measures on the bottom as well. He says, I have to tell you, I looked at the two heels of Adam Arishon, and they were like two suns. They were so bright. So if you look at Rashbam in the second white line, B'shnei Akev Shalom Rishon, V'haydich Siv, Ki Afar Ata, Ve'al Afar Toshuv, aye, but it says about Adam Rishon, he's going to return to the Afar, Ha'parchil Le'im Tzach Shabbos, Perek Sholom, Ukminu La'u Sha'a, that when is Adam Rishon going to become Afar again? That's only one moment before Tchias HaMesim. But when Rabbi Bina'a saw him, he was not yet Afar, and that's why his heels looked like Galgalei Chama. Right away you see the Chronon point, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, there's something a lot more going on over here, in general in Agadita, but it's clear in this Gemara, because he wasn't allowed in to Adam Rishon. So he couldn't have seen his heels. He couldn't see any part of him. He wasn't allowed in, so there must be something else. This means other things, deeper things. Okay, in terms of the beauty of the Avos, every other human being in comparison to Sarah is like comparing a monkey to a human being. Sarah b'fnei Chava, kikov b'fnei Adam. And even so, if you were to compare the beauty of Sarah to the beauty of Chava, Sarah would be like a monkey in comparison to Chava being a human being. Chava b'fnei Adam, kikov b'fnei Adam. And Chava, in comparison to Adam, also like a monkey for a human being. I mean, a totally different madrega, not just slightly better looking, slightly worse. A totally different madrega of beauty. Adam b'fnei Shechina, kikov b'fnei Adam. And Adam, in comparison to the Shechina, is also like a monkey. Shufrei d'Rav Kahana, there's a girsa issue over here. Shufrei d'Rav Kahana main shufrei d'Rabbi Avoh. Rav Kahana's beauty was similar to that of Rabbi Avoh. Shufrei d'Rabbi Avoh main shufrei d'Yaakov Avinu. And Rabbi Avoh's beauty was similar to that of Yaakov Avinu. Shufrei d'Yaakov Avinu main shufrei d'Adam Rishon. The beauty of Yaakov Avinu was similar to that of Adam Rishon. And that's what we were referring to before when Adam Rishon said that you've seen d'mus d'yukni, but you don't get to see d'yukni atzma. D'mus d'yukni is Yaakov because his beauty was similar to that of Adam Rishon. Ha'olam Gusha, there was a certain sorcerer, Tavachatit Shachvi, that would dig up graves. Some of the Rishonim say he was digging up the graves in order to take the clothing off of the dead bodies, that this was something that Mechashvim used to do. In fact, the Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Nunvava Mebeis, where the Gemara talks about what the meaning of various dreams, so the Gemara tells us of a certain Tzduki, and he kept on telling his dreams over to Rabbi Ishmael, and Rabbi Ishmael kept on interpreting his dreams as signifying all of the terrible averos that the person does. Oh, this dream means you slept with your own sister, this dream means you slept with your own mother, this dream means you slept with an Esh Hazish, all sorts of horrible averos that this fellow did, and then the last dream he interpreted as you've taken the clothing off of a dead body. So out of context it seems that's an odd thing to accuse a person of. All the sins of Arayos, okay, those are significant averos, we've heard of them. Well, taking clothing off of a dead body, but you see over here that this is apparently something that mechashvim do. It's a form of kishuv. In that story, in the Gemara over there, the fellow, the tzeduki, says it's not true. He says I've done all the other things, but not taking the clothing off of a dead body, until the Gemara clears up that he in fact did do that as well. Kimata amarasa Rabbi Tuvi Bar Masna tafse. So when he got to the grave of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, Rav Tuvi Bar Masna grabbed him, bidikne, he grabbed his beard of this mechashev. Asa Abaye, Amalei b'matusav inach shavke. So Abaye came and had to beg Rabbi Tuvi Bar Masna to let the guy go, leave him be. L'shana achriti, hadarasa tafse bidikne. The next year, the guy tried again to get into Rabbi Tuvi Bar Masna's grave. And again, Rabbi Tuvi Bar Masna grabbed him by the beard. Asa Abaye lo shafka adayis imisparav agazi ledikne. And Abaye came, tried to talk Rabbi Tuvi Bar Masna, or the body of Rabbi Tuvi Bar Masna, into letting the guy go. Didn't work. They had to bring scissors and cut off the fellow's beard in order for him to get away from the grip of Rabbi Tuvi Bar Masna. Hu damalu chavisa da afra lechad brai, chavisa de garmi lechad brai, chavisa du udra lechad brai. There was a guy that said, I am leaving, a very wealthy fellow, who said, I am leaving a barrel of dirt to one of my sons, a barrel of bones to one of my sons, and a barrel of feathers to one of my sons. Now that does not seem very generous for a very wealthy person. So lo yaviyadi mai kamerlehu. He was obviously speaking in riddles, and they didn't know what on earth he meant by this. So asul kamed rabina. They went to rabina. Amerlehu isluchu ara. Rabina right away said, "Well, tell me, do you have any land?" Amrulei in. They said, "Yeah, our father had land." Isluchu chiyusa. Does he have livestock? in. Yeah, he's got that too. Islichu bastarki. Does he have a cloth? Does he have clothing? All sorts of different begadim. So in, yeah, he's got that too. Ihachi, ihachi kamaluchu. Well, that's obviously what he meant then. When he said he's leaving dirt, he meant land. When he said bones, he meant livestock. And when he said feathers or soft cushioning, he meant clothing. So Rabbi Na was clever, was able to figure out the riddle. The Rishonim say the reason the fellow didn't just say exactly what he meant was because he didn't want people to know how wealthy he was. So he wanted to speak in code where it made it sound like he didn't have anything of great value. That Ein Adam Asir Lahasbia Es Atzmo. A person doesn't want to bring an Ayin Hara onto himself, so he doesn't want to let people know exactly how much money he has, or even in the ballpark. He doesn't want to bring attention to his wealth. Although there is a Gemara somewhere that says that Pishas Misa, a person is Asri Las Bias Atzmo. I don't know, maybe this will was written before it was literally the Shas Misa. How Gavra the Shamal the Bitu, the Kamar the Barta, a guy overheard his wife having a conversation with their daughter, and she said to her, Amailot Snias Bisura. The mother wasn't telling the daughter you shouldn't violate Averos. She was saying when you do it, you should really be more private about it, more secret about it. You're doing it in such a way that everyone knows you're violating these Averos. You know, you should really follow my model, the mother says. Hachitza Sara Banai Isla Vlasi. You know, your 10 brothers, only one of them is actually your full brother. The others I have from other men. So I'm able to violate Averos, and no one's the wiser. No one has any idea that all your brothers are from other men. So the fellow overheard his wife saying this. So Kishachiv, when he died, Amalu, before his death, he said, Kol Nichsay Lechad Bra. He said, I want all of my Nechasim to go specifically to one son. No one knew which son he was talking about. Which son is it supposed to go to? So they went to Rabbi Na. He was the one that's able to figure all these things out. What you should do is you should go bang some sticks on the kever of your father. He's then going to get up and he's going to reveal to the world exactly which son he meant. He's going to reveal to all of you which son he wanted to leave all of his nechasim to. Azu kulu hu debrei hava lo azul. They all went, but the one that was in fact his son didn't go. He wasn't going to be mevaza the kever of his father. So right away he said, all of the nechasim belong to this guy. This is the actual son. Chaznish raises the question that the Gemara in Yevama says that a mamzer she'eni yodua is eno chai. The Gemara in Yevama stafayin ches. That he's not going to live a mamzer she'eni yodua, because it's one thing if you have a mamzer yodua, everyone will know to stay away from marrying such a person. But a mamzer she'eni yodua, he might marry a ksher. It's going to ruin the whole yichus of Klal Yisrael. So how could it be that these nine sons who were all mamzerim, that they were all living? So the Chaznish points out that the calculus of who gets to live and who gets to die and measuring all the variables is a complicated thing. And, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of has to do that. We can't really figure it out. Yes, Mamzer Sheni Yodua, that's a strike against him being able to live. But he may have certain mitzvos, he may have certain zechuyos. That's sort of up to the Ribbono Shel, not sort of, that's up to the Ribbono Shel to figure all those things out. Now, the Eliyahu Rabbah quotes from a Sefer Chasidim that there was someone who once went to Medinas Hayam with his Eved, and his wife was pregnant at the time, and she had a son, and after some time the Adon died, and the Eved took over all of the Nechasim. Finally the son came to be Tovea the Nechasim, and the Eved said, no, I'm the true son of this fellow, not this this guy who claims to be the son. So the Sefer Chasidim quotes Rav Sadia Gaon said, let's take some blood from each of these people, and we'll bring an etzem, a bone from the father, and we'll put the blood together, each one's blood together with the father, and we'll see which blood gets absorbed in the bone, and that's going to be the one who's really the son. Essentially, a very early blood test, a paternity test, by drawing blood and doing a blood test and matching it with the father's blood. That's what Rav Sadia Gaon did, according to the Sefer Chasidim. So some of the Achronim are bothered, why didn't Rabbi Bina do the same thing? If there was such a chachma to do a paternity test by taking someone's blood, so you had these 10 children, take one of the bones of the father and do this this test. So I would have suggested, maybe he didn't know about it. Maybe he didn't know about how to do blood testing. There's a major question in how to view science and halacha how we view the knowledge of Chazal in science. That there are some of the Achronim say, well, Chazal had to know everything. There can't be any, you know, why didn't they send faxes? Because they didn't want to. Why didn't they, you know, they send emails? Because they didn't want to invent the internet. You know, not that they had to know everything, but they chose, you know, for whatever reason not to do certain things. But they had to know. You can't say that they didn't know. Whereas others say, no, technology develops, things develop, science develops, and they, therefore, we discover new things. And it's possible that we know something that maybe others don't know. They discuss this in the context of the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Brachos, that David HaMelech was able to figure out exactly when Chatzos HaLaila was, based on the harp that he hung over his bed, and he figured out the Ruach Tzfonis, that when the Ruach Tzfonis blows, that's exactly when it's going to be, exactly Chatzos. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out exactly when Chatzos HaLaila was. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kechatzos HaLaila. So, okay, Chazal discussed why he Dafka said that. Kodesh Baruch said, Bichatzos, but how come Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out if David HaMelech was able to figure out? So some say, of course he was able to figure out. You can't say that he wasn't able to figure out. Whereas others say, you can say that. It could be that David HaMelech's scientific knowledge was more advanced. He lived at a later time, and although our Torah knowledge has been decreasing steadily over time, our scientific knowledge has not been decreasing over time. So it's just interesting that the Poskim discuss, why didn't Rabbi Bina do this, and not the Poskim, the Achronim discuss, why didn't Rabbi Bina do this test? So the Rashash deals with this, and he says, based on the Rashbam, that Rabbi Bina gave all the money to the son that didn't hit the Kever, because he was the most sinua, so it's mistaber that the father wanted to give it to that one. So it could be that Rabbi Na said that they should go to be mak on the cover of the father, not to do the hakazas dam, because he wanted to discover who was the most sanua amongst them. Meaning, the father really had no idea himself who the child was. So it wasn't about figuring out the child, it was about who the father liked the most, who the father really wanted to give it to. So he wanted to give it to the one that was that was most sanua. Or, says the Rashash, maybe Rabbi Na didn't want to know nine people were Vadai Mamzerim. So if you do the blood test, that's going to be 100%. That's 100% accurate. Maybe he didn't want to know that. It's much better not to have people be mamzerim, so to be megala their psul. So maybe he didn't want to do that. So he did something that was an equitable way of dividing the estate. Okay. Not dividing, of giving the estate to this one person. Azu achlu kortza be'malka. So after Rabbi Na kept on judging these cases and figuring out these riddles, they went and they reported him to the government. Amri ika gavra chad v'yudai to come up gemona ma'anshi below sahadi or below raya. So they told the government that there's this guy acting like a judge and he's taking property away from people without any witnesses, without any proof. So asiyu chavshu, they put him in jail. Azu debitu, Rabbi Na's wife came. Amruluhu avdechad havali, and she told the melech, you know, I had a certain eved. Paskul reshe, they decapitated him. Upashtu lamashche, they skinned him. Va'achlu bisre, they ate his flesh. V'kamalu be'maya, and they filled his skin with water. They made a canteen of water out of his skin. Umashku be'lechaviraya, and they are giving his chaverim to drink with that kli that they made out of his skin. V'lo ki'avli dami v'lo igre, and no one ever paid me a penny for my eved and or any schar for the usage. Of the skin of my eved. So they didn't know what she was saying, meaning she was obviously speaking in riddle, and they didn't want to let on that they had no idea what she was talking about. They said, let's get the chacham amongst the Jews, he'll come and he'll interpret this. There's so much in this Gemara that sounds a lot like dreams. A lot of if you learn the sugyas and brachas about dream interpretation, a lot of similarities over here. And over here you have mamash, just like Yosef being pulled from the jail to interpret. So this isn't interpreting a dream, it's interpreting a riddle. Karyul Rabbi Bina, so they called Rabbi Bina, Amr Luhu, Zarnuka Amr Luhu, that what she was saying was that there was a certain animal that she had that they took, and they shechted the animal. That's what it means, decapitated. I mean, it's one simple answer to the whole riddle. The Eved was an animal that had done work for her. So Amri, Hol V'chakim Kulehai, Lesva Abba V'nidondina, says, oh, he's so smart, since we didn't realize how clever he was, so let him be a dayan for us. So Chazda V'ksiv Ba'avula He saw a sign by the entrance to the court that any dayan who was ever summoned to a din himself, who was ever sued for anything, cannot be called a dayan. You're not a valid dayan. So wow, that would make it really easy for people who want to pasul a dayan. All they got to do is go and be mazmin to a din Torah. It could be the most frivolous lawsuit in the world, and it's not going to make a difference, because as soon as you're mazmin him to a din Torah, according to this sign, he's not able to be a dayan. Ella, rather, Rabbi Nosson said, we need to correct this. That's not what it should read. It should read, Kol dayan de miskari ledin, umafkin mine mamona bedin, lav shmei dayan. That it's only if they take money away from him in a din Torah, that's when he's lav shmei dayan. And Tosus points out on the top, kigonim kafar, votziu mimenu be'edim, that he denied that he owes money, and then there were edim that showed that he was lying. That's a bad dayan. Avlam chivu shvu avloros l'shav vishalem avishilei mishum hach. Tos says, but it doesn't mean every time you ever pay money in court that it means you're a bad guy. Let's say you were really chayev a shvua, but you didn't want to take the shvua because it's an admirable thing to avoid taking a shvua in Beis Din. So he didn't want to take a shvua, and therefore he paid rather than take a shvua. So that's not going to passel him from being a dayan. It's only going to passel him from being a dayan when we've proved him to be dishonest. So kasu achi. Baram Sabi Diudai Amri, Kol Dayan de Miskari Ledin, Mafkin Minema Mona Bedin, Lav Shmei Dayan. So they changed the text of the sign, and instead it said that this old Jew came and told us that it should say any Dayan who money was taken from him in Din can no longer be a Dayan. Chazid Xiv Brosh Kalmosa Anod Dam. Now you also saw another wise saying that they had was that Dam is what is the cause of all death. Barosh kol chayin anoch chamar, and the cause of all life is wine. So he says, Elameata denafel miigra mis, denafel midikla mis. Damakatle, a guy falls off the Empire State Building and dies. It was because he had a blood disease that he died. No, it was the impact of such a major fall that killed him. Vesum min didarke lememas mashkele chamar v'chayi. A person is dying of whatever horrible disease he's dying of. So all you need to do is bring a good bottle of wine and then he'll be okay? No, you can't say that wine gives all life and that blood disease causes all death. What it should say is Barosh Kalmarin Anadam, Barosh Kalasvan Anachamar, that the best way to stay healthy, meaning the cause of most illnesses is blood, and the cause of and the best way to stay healthy is by drinking the right amount of wine. So therefore they changed their saying, they changed the sign. And it now said, Baram Sabi Diudai Amri, they didn't take away what it previously said, they just added a note on the sign. This is what we used to say. However, this old Jew said, Barosh Kalmar Nanadam, Barosh Kalasar Nachamar, Basud Las Chamar Taman Matvu Samanim. And if you don't have wine around, so you should look for other Samanim, you should look for medications for Rafua, because that will also help if you can grind up various medications. Ksiv Apischa de Kaputkia, Anpak Anbag Antal. That it says that by the entrance to Kaputkia, different measurements, Anpak, Anbag, and Antal, that they're all the same. Vezu Antal, what is an Antal? Zeh Revi'ah Shel Torah. That's a Revi'ah that the Torah of the Torah, for Dinim of the Torah. So let's see the Mishnah. Hamar Zaveilu Chazaka, back to Cheskas Tashmishin, a certain type of gutter that runs along the length of the house. You don't have a Chazaka if it's hovering over your neighbor's property. V'yesh L'makomo Chazaka, but you do have a chazaka for its place. The Gemara will have three explanations of what that means. Hamaschila, the another type of gutter that moves the water further away from the house, yesh la chazaka. There is a chazaka for that, even though it's over someone else's property. Sulam amitzri ein lo chazaka. To keep a small ladder in someone else's property, you don't have a chazaka. But a lutzuri, yesh la chazaka. For a sulam tzuri, there is a chazaka. Tzuri is a larger ladder. Chalona mitzris ein lo chazaka. A very tiny window, just because you had it there doesn't mean that you're muchzak to be able to always keep that window there. If the neighbor wants to close it off because he doesn't like the fact that you can see through into whatever he's doing, so he has the right to demand that. But a litzuris yesh lechazaka. If it's a larger window, he would not have been. If he was makbid, he would have been makbid right away. And therefore, it's chazaka that you must have bought it from him or something, or he must have been mochel. Ezui chalona mitzvus. How do we define what's called a small window? Kol shein rosh shaladim yachol likanis l'tocha. If a person can't stick his head into it, that's a small window. Rav Yehuda omer im yesh lo malbein afal pi shein rosh shaladim yachol likanis l'tocha harezu chazaka. If they have around the window, there's like a post around the window or shutters around the window where it's made nice and fancy and it's not just stomp a hole in the wall. So then, even if it's a very small window, still you're going to have a chazaka because we assume that probably the right to put that window there was purchased. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara explaining what it means that Marzev is ein lo chazaka, but yesh lo makom lo chazaka.